now listening to the Nasty Backpack Podcast. What up, everybody? It's your boy, Nasty Backpack. Y'all listening to the Nasty Backpack Podcast. And it's here, folks. We have officially launched our new YouTube channel. It's called Hope for Phoenix. And in there, I go around my community. Actually, like, my whole city, the whole valley. It don't matter if it's, you know, Phoenix, Mesa, Avondale. Like, we're gonna go everywhere. And, we're gonna try to help. So by trade, I'm a case manager. And what I decided is, folks that are in these streets that are struggling with substance abuse, they don't have a case manager on the regular. There's nobody there to try to help change their life. And sometimes when we deal with addictions and we're constantly using, we get broken down. You get broken down so low that you give up. And I think a lot of folks get to that point where, you know, they lost their house, they lost their kids, they lost their spouse. Now they got this thing called addiction that is held over their head that, you know, has them in the street. And, you know, sometimes there's no help. Sometimes there's no help for these folks. And what I wanted to do was provide hope for them by providing them case management services and no cost. All it pretty much requires is that you're able to give me your time, and if you can give me your time, then I can help you. But what we have to understand is that change is always going to come from within. If you have to be willing to want the change, and if you don't want to change, that's okay. Sometimes that's just the way it is sometimes, and some people just are content. But what I like to do is plant that seed that, you know, there is hope out here for you. And when you're ready to make the move to make that change, I'll be here to help. And, you know, I won't charge you a thing. And that goes to help I feel like, you know, if I can help as many people as I can, I can show that there is hope out here for these people who are struggling in these streets, because this is not an easy lifestyle whatsoever. For instance, so I started hitting the streets yesterday, and I was able to get 2 interviews. And this just goes to show you how dangerous these conditions are for these folks out here. You know, you would think because you're homeless, you know, you don't have many issues. You don't have you have no responsibility. That's not the case. That when you're out here in these streets with these temps that are over 115 degrees, and you know, you haven't ate all day, and you know, you need money to eat, but yet you need money for your habit, and you know, you borrow from the wrong person, or you whatever you got to do to get that money, you know, there's issues all day, and there's struggles and barriers all day. And for instance, yesterday I interviewed this young couple, you know, Joe and Terry, and you know, I provided them some water and I provided them, you know, some fruit. But then we decided to go get them, you know, actually a couple gallons of water and, you know, maybe a bag of chips at the local Circle K. From the time that I went, and the Circle K is right around the corner. As a matter of fact, when I was at the Circle K, I was able to see Joe and Terry, you know, still. But anyways, you know, we go in there, we get them some water, some sanitizer, just, you know, some things to just kind of help them, you know. just to, you know, to show these folks that there is caring people and there is hope out here for them. And you know, even though they turned down the treatment to go to treatment at that moment, you know, they thought about it, and we actually scheduled a time to go. But when I was at Circle K, I noticed a bunch of commotion where you know, Joe and Terry were, you know. And from where I was, you know, I could see somebody stomping. I just thought in my head that maybe they got into a little argument, and you know, I was hoping it wasn't because of the interview, but I, you know, I didn't have any idea what was going on. So then, you know, we get in the car and we pull up back over there to give them the water and, you know, kind of see if what was going on. Well, I noticed, as we got closer, I noticed Joe on the floor, and I'm like, damn, what? I was trying to piece together what happened, because I, you know, the where he was on the floor at wasn't next to the really next to the little side street I had turned down, so I had to kind of wait for them to walk up to kind of see what was going on. And, you know, some car pulled up on them, which happened to be Terry's brother, and, you know, they had some kind of beef going on, the sister and the brother, and the brother took it out on the boyfriend Joe. And that was the commotion that I saw, you know. That was the brother pulling up on him and, you know, beating him up. Well, I'm like, wow, like that was, you know, kind of crazy that happened, you know. And it just kind of shows you what dangers these folks, you know, deal with out here sometimes. And that, you know, this is the very first day I'm out shooting. This is the, you know, interview went great. I thought, you know, I'm getting a little bit better with this interviewing process. Just trying to ask the right questions so I can, you know, if I have the right questions asked, I get the right answers. You know, then I can base how I can help these folks off of that. And so, but it just goes to show you how quick things can flip upside down for some of these folks. And, you know, and then while we were there, the brother pulls back up on Joe and Terry, and that's when I was like, okay, you know what, let's call the cops, let's get them over here, let's try to get this guy, you know, little protection. And you know, at the end, I checked in to see if he wanted treatment, you know, if they, you know, if it's still on for tomorrow. And I ended up talking to the mother of Terry, because, you know, when I was interviewing, they told me that they were waiting for their a family member to come so that they can help them. And so I ended up talking to the mother, and you know, we kind of discussed what was kind of going on with Terry, and she told me she's addicted to those blues and she can't get off of them, and when she stops them, she gets really sick. You know, that's typical when you're addicted to those blues. And that's why Matt Services is so important for these folks, because if they're out there dosing at the clinic every day, they're not gonna feel that sickness, and then they can let go of having to use the fentanyl once they get their dose to the correct level for that person. And, you know, as long as they commit themselves and they get in there, we can stop this fentanyl problem that we have out here. If I can get enough people to, you know, and that's not gonna say that they're gonna quit, but it at least puts the seed in them that they can quit. And sometimes when you get so low on addiction, you forget that you have that willpower to say no. And as a case manager, that's what I'm gonna try to bring out of these folks, and try to get them to understand that there is hope, and you can do this. But you got to be willing to do it, and I can show you how to do it, and lay down the road, the map for you. And, you know, I have enough resources where, you know, I can get these people a lot of help. And that's what I'm, that's my plans with that. I started thinking about the GoFundMe part of this process, that to help out. And I think what I'm going to do, because I, you know, I don't want to give somebody that's really struggling with addiction a bunch of money or whatever, you know, whatever the GoFundMe brings in. I don't want to give them that in cash form that they would blow through it in an irresponsible way. So what I think I'm going to do is, depending on what comes in for each individual, put it towards their situation. So if they're homeless, okay, let's come up with a plan that, you know, maybe like a sober living, that we can get you out of the streets and use that money towards your sober living, or use that money towards, you know, getting you an apartment. And that's the other thing, you know, we can't give everybody apartments that are going through this, because they got to get well before you can give them that kind of responsibility. You know, you give a homeless person that's struggling with addiction an apartment, and, you know, you can turn a trap house into a trap house really quick, and, you know, turn it into a house where there's just addicts at it all day, because the person hasn't focused on the treatment part of their recovery yet. And so that's what I want to kind of help out with these folks, is being able to fund that for them where it needs to, wherever the funds need to go. They're fighting a DCS case that they're, you know, but if, you know, as long as we use it in responsible ways for them, I think that's fine. You know, if we get them really stable, then we can give them the check so that they can, but you know, at that, I would want to see them really clean up before anything like that happens. I want to help them get out of the situation that they're in. I want to help them get off the streets and overcome their addiction, or at least go into treatment and try to overcome it. You know, that's where I'm gonna really focus at with these folks, and that was the purpose for this channel, Hope for Phoenix, and it's to, you know, try to change their lives, try to change one life at a time. There's only one of me, but, you know, if I can teach people how to be a little bit more caring out here, then, you know, I'm gonna do what I gotta do. And if I can help one person at a time change their life, I'm good with that. And I mean, it's just, I see the amount of people that are struggling out here, and it just breaks my heart to see that, you know, our communities are crumbling to this fentanyl, to this drug. And, you know, the fact that I notice it and I see it, you know, I just want to be part of the problem, not the solution, not the problem. So that's what the purpose of this channel is going to be. That's what the purpose of this podcast is going to be, is to have these discussions where, you know, we come up with a plan to try to clean up our streets and clean up our community. Because if we don't clean up this, our communities, I don't know who will. I don't know who is. And, you know, I the spread of the fentanyl use out here, that I see that, you know, it's overcoming Mesa, it's overcoming Tempe, it's overcoming Scottsdale, it's overcoming Phoenix. And, you know, there's not enough people putting any kind of action out. And what I want to do is just provide that outreach out there that, you know, there's hope. We can help you, and I can help you, but you got to be willing to help yourself. And if you're willing to help yourself, we will overcome this fentanyl problem. But I'm going to leave it at that, guys. Thanks for tuning in. It's your boy Nasty Backpack. We are out.